Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Excited for this edition of the show. We do this every time we near a Fierce Fighting Championship event. We dedicate the entire show to that event. And joining us on air to help out with that, we have Cody Bunderson. He is the owner and promoter of the Fierce Fighting Championship. Cody, it's always a pleasure. I always look forward to these particular shows.
Oh, likewise, Jordan. I definitely love being on here, and it's exciting to bring these fights down here to Carbon County.
That is. I mean, it's top-quality entertainment, that is for sure. You guys are making a return here to Carbon County. Now, the last time you guys put a card together, it was actually held up in Salt Lake.
Yes. Yep. We kind of did a debut show traveling up north at the Utah State Fair Park and had a show that just kind of, you know, blew the doors off. It was action-packed. There was really not a bad fight on the card. And we're just going to continue with that momentum and have a lot of solid fights on the cards down here.
Yeah, for those who were unable to attend or unable to watch the internet stream, it was standing room only.
Oh, yeah. It was. I mean, the place was packed. The place was it was packed to the doors. And I expect nothing less down here, you know, for support a local business like myself. And, you know, we're... I know the fans down here in Carbon County, I think we're a little bit rowdier, and I want to prove it.
Yeah, so. I think they were, too. I would definitely have to agree with you on that. Now, to kind of push this card, you guys have two local fighters that will headline. First off, Mike Jones is stepping back into the cage. The last time we saw Mike fight locally, it ended very quick. That was against Kyle Stewart. I know he recently stepped back into the cage, suffered a decision loss, but Mike is going to headline this card against Ben Robinson.
Yeah, I'm scared for Mike's opponent. Like, this kid, Mike, is so hungry right now. He just got back from a week of training out at Factory X Muay Thai, one of the top camps in the country. They have some phenomenal athletes out there, phenomenal fighters, top-notch coaching. You know, he got to take a week off and train like what a true professional athlete gets to train, like, you know, three times a day, incorporated with strength and conditioning. You know, he sent me a picture with his name on the board, and literally it was a... him scheduled in with for his strength and conditioning with you know, who's who of names. I mean, there was TJ Dillashaw was on the board, Nate Marquardt, and it had like people saying, oh, UFC fights June 3rd, you know, Mike Jones Fierce Fighting Championship June 3rd. It had NFL athletes on there, NBA athletes on there, and he was like literally training with, you know, some of the top athletes in the world, in addition to all the phenomenal training that he got out there at Factory X. And Mike's hungry, he's training hard. And, you know, I expect nothing less than probably a KO from Mike on this. So it's gonna be tough, though. Ben Robinson's a tough kid. I'm hearing a lot of good things about Ben. And, you know, at this level of the game, you know, with Mike's reputation and his record, you know, there's going to be no easy fights for him. You know, there's no more, you know, sort of build-you-up fights, you know, stepping stone sort of fights. Everything's a tough task from here on out. Mike's potential is endless, and so I expect big things from him.
I know we'll talk to Mike a little bit later on in the show, but this was a guy that was really on the cusp when he went up against Kyle Stewart. Now he's suffered two consecutive losses. I mean, if he's not hungry, then something's wrong at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's part of the game, you know. There's no such thing as staying undefeated anymore. It's, you know, anybody can be beaten on any given day, especially at this level of the sport. As you start climbing the ladder and fighting different fighters, you know, you may be a better fighter, but, you know, I think with the case with Mike's last two fights was, you know, maybe they were the better fighter that night. And, you know, Mike's last fight was a little bit controversial. You know, it could have won either way, but that's why you never leave it in the hands of the judges. And, you know, I expect Mike to really pull the trigger on this fight. you know, let his hands go, and it's going to be fun to watch Mike in this fight, guaranteed.
Let's talk about Cy Nelson. It's been a while. It's been about a year since we've seen Cy step into the cage. Gives a great interview. We love getting Cy on the show.
Yeah.
he's a very charismatic individual.
Yes, very. He's so passionate about this. You know, he loves this. This is what he wants to do. And, you know, I expect him huge things from Cy. You know, he's you know, climbing that ladder just like Cy, just like Mike was, you know. And this is his next stepping stone towards getting him to bigger, better fights. And, you know, taking the next leap in his professional career. And, you know, again, with Cy as well, the possibilities are endless.
He goes up against Jordan Chandler. Chandler is very experienced, though.
Oh, man. Chandler, this will be, I believe, his 25th pro fight. I think he's 12-12. So sitting right at that 50-50 mark. But make no mistake about it, Jordan Chandler is a tough guy. He is always training. He's very well trained, comes from a good camp at One Hit MMA and also University of Grappling. So he's well-rounded from top to bottom. And this will be Cy's toughest fight to date, guaranteed. However, with that being said, Cy's, you know, he's a beast. He's a killer. He smells blood. All it takes really is kind of just, you know, one little hit from Cy or one, you know, one mistake, and Cy will capitalize on that and he'll finish the fight.
So those are the two main fights on the card, right?
Yes, that's the main and co-main event. Yep.
Let's move on and talk about some of the other bouts that you have on this card, because I really am excited to see Nate Kearsley once again. I thought he delivered a very entertaining performance in your guys' last card in Salt Lake. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out for Nate, but he'll go up against Nephi McQuivy.
Nephi actually trains at one of our sister jiu-jitsu gyms from here in Fierce. And but Nate, Nathan Kearsley, man, he's that kid. I love that dude. He's
entertaining.
Yeah, so entertaining. He's so passionate. He's so charismatic, has great energy about him. You know, win or lose, like, he's always back in the gym, like, the very next day. The kid just, you know, just loves the whole martial arts aspect of it, you know, trying to become the best martial artist that he can be. And, you know, he has a tough fight in Nephi. I know they're going to have very good jiu-jitsu coming from Nephi's camp. And, you know, Nate's a great wrestler, wrestled at college at UVU. And so, you know, maybe we're going to have two grapplers that maybe cancel it out. Maybe we'll see a good slugfest.
Talk to me about Chris Gomez and Hank Weiss.
Oh, man, this is a crazy fight. So Hank Weiss, for those of you who don't know Hank, if there was a Utah Hall of Fame for MMA fighters, Hank Weiss would be in the Utah Hall of Fame. The dude has been around forever. He probably has... He probably has close to 50 pro fights. I'll have to look up his record. I mean, he's something like 28-15 or something like that. I mean, the dude has fought literally the who's who and everybody in the state of Utah. He's fought Court McGee. I think he's fought Josh Berkman. He's fought just, if anybody is familiar with Utah MMA, he's fought everyone literally that's been out there. And he hasn't fought in a few years. And, you know, he's over 40 now, Chris Gomez, 4-4, super scrappy dude. If you haven't seen Chris Gomez fight, the dude brings it. Like, he's, you know, it's all or nothing with Chris. And so we're going to have two heavyweight fighters over the age of 40 banging it out. I am so excited for this fight. It's going to be crazy.
Chris is actually pretty unique on this card, right? Because his son is on the card.
Yes,
as well.
His son, Michael Gomez, is also on the card. So we have a little father-son duo there. I've never seen it before.
I've never heard of it. No.
Yeah, never heard of it. So could not be happier to have both those guys on the card. Michael Gomez always brings it. Like, again, he's an all or nothing dude. Like, he's either I'm going to get knocked out or you're going to get knocked out, and there's going to be blood.
Mitch Ramirez is a familiar name with Fierce Fighting Championship as well. Again, a very entertaining fighter. He was in arguably the most entertaining fight on your guys' last card, and he's going to be back.
Yes. Mitch is a phenomenal fighter. He is an up-and-comer, rising very quickly in the amateur ranks in the state of Utah in the lightweight division. The dude is a workhorse. Like, pure and simple, he works his butt off in the gym. No excuses, shows up every day. And, you know, he's second to none in work ethic as far as fighters that I've ever came across. The dude works his butt off. He's passionate about it. He loves it. He gets after it. But standing in his way, Julian Ruiz, the dude's tough. Coming in at 4-2, Mitch is 2-0. Julian's got some heavy, heavy hands, really good boxing. You know, Julian wants to knock you out. And if you know Mitch isn't very careful and have a good game plan going into this fight, Julian touches you, you know, it could be night and night. So this right there, in my mind, could be definitely one of the fight of the nights right there.
So correct me if I'm wrong. There's four professional fights on the card.
Yes, we got four pro fights on the card, and we have five amateur fights right now, possibly a sixth.
Well, we're going to continue to talk Fierce Fighting Championship, the fifth production, Redemption.
Yes.
Is what you guys have labeled Redemption. This one. And so we're going to be talking about that for the next hour here on Drive Time Sports. We have several fighters pegged to join us as well, including Mike Jones and Cy Nelson. So stay tuned for that. It's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. You can ride all day long. Mike Jones. But you'll never catch Mr. Jones. We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL, and we are continuing to preview Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption, which is going down Saturday, June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. Make sure you get your tickets. Part of the main event, again, there's going to be two fights that are featuring local fighters. Mike Jones is going to be featured once again on the main event as he goes up against Ben Robinson. Mike right now looking to bounce back from a loss that he recently suffered that was on national TV, and Mike is actually kind enough to join us right now in the studio. Mike, it's great to get you back in here. It's been about 5-6 months since we've talked to you.
Yeah, man, it feels good to be back in here. Dude, I'm living back in Price, so it's good to be back here. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Well, it's great to have a local fighter of your magnitude around the area, that is for sure. Now, you are coming off of two losses. We'll start by talking about the Kyle Stewart loss. There was a lot of buildup to that fight. Unfortunately, it ended extremely fast. And it was almost dumb luck. I mean, you did take a shot from Kyle, but as you were stepping back, you broke a couple of bones in your leg, and that pretty much, well, did lead to the end of the fight. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah, when I fell, I broke my tibia and my fibula. They snapped those bones, and it was unfortunate. But that, I mean, Kyle Stewart's tough, but if we fought a million more times, that would never go like that again. I don't know. It made me learn a lot about myself, you know, about the fight game. It was hard. Like, just, it was a rough one to get over, and I learned a lot.
Were you surprised in that fight how Kyle really came out? He came out charging, I mean, to start that fight. Did that shock you, throw you a little bit off?
Yeah, and I've really worked on that too, guys coming out aggressive and, you know, being ready for it. I kind of like to settle in and be more technical and pick my shots, and he came out, I mean, jab, 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 right hand, and it was over, and I just wasn't ready for it mentally or anything.
You and I were talking about your mental game, and even though you did lose your last fight by split decision, again, this was on Access TV in the LFA, so you lost by split decision, yet at the same time, you said you weren't really upset about your performance because you learned a lot about yourself and you can see improvements to your mental game from that fight.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I won the fight. It was a split decision, and it was in his hometown, so you know how that goes. If we were here in Utah, I probably would have got the decision. But I'm coming off it like I just got to fix a few little things, and I would have finished that fight pretty easily, I think. And the dude was a Division I All-American wrestler. You know, he wrestled for Minnesota, and he couldn't take me down. He couldn't out-wrestle me. And that boosted my confidence a lot. Then I got a lot of good opportunities. You know, I got to go out to Denver. I met a team out there. Got to go train with all them guys and a bunch of UFC fighters, Bellator fighters, Glory kickboxers. So, I mean, it opened up opportunities there for me, too.
That was a week-long training session, right?
It was a week-long, yeah, and I trained 2 to 3 times a day. You know, we worked out at Landau Fitness with Lauren Landau and them guys. Like, it's, you know, they train at NFL players, Olympic athletes, UFC fighters. So it was really good for my strength and conditioning, too.
I'm sure training with individuals like that, it may be contagious because they're at another level. I mean, it really, until you see professional athletes prepare their bodies for what, you know, for the journey, it's unlike anything you've seen. So I'm sure that right there was not only an eye-opening experience, but I'm sure it was contagious.
Oh, yeah, man. Them guys are a bunch of killers out there, and they're grinding every day. You know, I'm used to training an hour, 2 hours a day, you know, before work, before I go to the coal mine and rotate shifts, you know, so it was really eye-opening how them guys actually train, you know, going in the morning for a training session, going to strength and conditioning, and then, you know, I get to come home and rest my body and before the night training, and it was really cool to see how them guys train and how different it is with those higher levels.
Leading up to a fight, I mean, you have to be careful with how rough you are on your body, right, leading up to a fight. How do you find that mix?
Anymore, everyone's they're kind of getting better about it. You know, like back in the day, we used to just put gloves on and spar hard as we could and get ready for, you know, if we can do 10 rounds, we can do three, no problem. You know, it's kind of getting, everywhere's kind of getting away from that. You know, we're not sparring as hard. We're kind of being smarter, kind of trying not to get as many concussions.
Yeah.
And you just got to find that balance. I mean,
again, our guest right now is Mike Jones. He's going to be featured on one of the two main events, Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption, which is going down June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. You go up against Ben Robinson here at 170 pounds. Ben does have a winning record. He's at 5-3. However, he hasn't fought in quite some time. So, I mean, just looking at the idea of cage rush, you obviously have a big advantage in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the dude's picking a wrong comeback fight for... You know, he hasn't fought for almost 4 years, and I mean, I have nothing to respect for him, but for especially for taking the fight, but it's gonna be a rough one for him.
Is it a sign? I don't want to say it's a sign of disrespect. I don't know how to take this, but at the same time, he picked you as his comeback fight. So do you take offense to that?
No, because I mean, I don't know that he even cared. You know, maybe he just had his coach offered him, said, "Hey, we got a fight." And he really didn't care who it was or where it was, you know. So, I mean, I can't really say anything about that. I mean, he maybe should have looked at the opponent a little more and chose a little better, but...
Yeah, but with that being said, it's your job to make sure that he doesn't want to step into the cage again, right?
Yeah. Yep. And, I mean, I'm coming off a couple losses, too. So, I mean, maybe there's a lot more people that want to fight me.
Now, you're a hometown guy. You're living back in Price once again. So for you to fight here in Carbon County, at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center, you prefer to fight in front of a hometown crowd? Do you like traveling on the road? Does it make a difference to you?
Man, I love traveling and going out there, but, dude, the hometown, I mean, that last fight, I remember walking out and just having everyone cheering and all the people. It was awesome. So, I mean, I preferred that. It was fun.
We talked about it on air, that it was the atmosphere around that main event. It was electric. I mean, it was insane when you guys were walking to the cage. It was such a fun environment. And I'm sure it'll be somewhat similar with you coming to the cage this go around. I mean, it is going to be the main event. And again, we're talking about a guy that does have a winning record. And a win in this particular regard could do wonders for you. You talked about the last fight, even though it was a loss, the opportunities that it did bring to the table. A win here could be monumental for you.
Yeah, I mean, I need to get back to that. All my fights I've won either first or second round knockout, you know. I just need to get back to that aggressive style. If I start winning fights like that again, you know, 2-3 more fights, I could be getting that call to another promotion, you know.
But there is a fine line, right, with that aggression as well that you got to walk.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to be careful. You can't be getting sloppy and getting knocked out, you know, because you're doing something stupid.
Right. Between now and then, what do you put a focus on?
Now it's, I mean, I'm going to finish up this week of training, finish this hard week, and then I'll go on to watching my weight and just recovering my body and get the weight off me.
170 should not be a problem for you. You fought two consecutive fights at 170?
Yeah, I mean, all my pro fights have been at 170.
Okay.
My amateur fights, I fought at 85 just because I wasn't getting paid, and I'm like, I'm not going to kill myself if I'm not making any money, you know? But yeah, all my pro fights have been at 170.
And you'll typically rehydrate to the mid-180s?
Yeah, I'll probably be back up to 187, maybe even 190, you know, before I fight. It's what I walk around at. So,
how do you envision this fight ending?
I'm going to go out there. I'm not going to be looking for a one-punch knockout and just trying to kill him that way. I'm going to go out there and just dominate, like wrestling, stand-up, everything. I'm going to dominate this dude, like wherever it goes. So,
do you spend a lot of time paying attention to your opponent? I guess video, looking at tape, kind of preparing in that regard. Do you put an emphasis on that?
I have in the past, and like my last fight out in Colorado, I did, and the fight before that with Kyle Stewart, I did, and this one I didn't. I'm kind of, you know, this last fight, I was so worried about the guy being a Division I All-American wrestler, so I was like, I didn't want to wrestle with him. But I mean, I train with guys like that, and they cannot wrestle me. So I shouldn't have been worried about that, you know. So I got in my own head because I was worried about what he's gonna do. This fight, I seen one video, like he fought for Showdown some, and then I seen a crappy phone video of him fighting 4 years ago too. So I couldn't really tell. And I mean, that's all I've watched. I watched those a couple times, and then I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. I don't really care what he's gonna do, because wherever it goes, I'm gonna beat him up.
Does it take time to get acclimated to
fighting and performing in front of a live crowd with the bright lights. I mean, he hasn't done it in 4 years. So going back to when you first fought professionally, does it is there really a difference for a fighter stepping in there?
There's a huge difference. I mean, when I did my pro debut, it was for Showdown up at UVU. And I was in the back throwing up before the fight. Like, I was so nervous and scared. I mean, the commission guys were asking me, like, dude, you all right? You going to be able to fight, you know? And I'm in the back, like, throwing up, right? And they're getting ready to call my name. And that's how, and, you know, now, even my last couple fights, you know, I kind of walk out serious. But I'm starting to have fun with it. This last fight, you know, I'm in there kind of relaxing a little more, having fun. So, I mean, that's a big difference, because I fight way better when I'm relaxed, having fun, than whenever I'm just so nervous. I'm about ready to cry, you know.
So it's going to take some time for him to get acclimated to that once again.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, some people do and some people don't. You watch them guys in the UFC, like Rory McDonald just fought for Bellator, and he hasn't fought for 2 years, and he just goes out there and destroys Paul Daly like he's nothing, you know. So I don't know. I think it depends on the person.
Yeah.
And if he's been training, who knows? I don't know if he's been training for the last 3 or 4 years either, you know.
Like, right.
Maybe he just came back to the gym 6 months ago and then decided he wanted to take a fight again, you know. I don't know. I don't know anything about this guy.
Well,
so.
That's a bad decision if that's exactly what.
I hope he's been training for. You know, they got a good gym out there. They got Travis Marks. He's fought for Bellator. He trained at Jackson's down in Albuquerque. He's a good coach. He's a good fighter. So I expect him to be pretty well trained.
Mike, before I let you go, I know that part of fighting is sponsorship. I mean, you guys rely a lot on your sponsors, and I'm sure you have plenty that you would like to thank.
Yeah, I mean, I want to thank my wife and my family and everyone that supports me that way. My managers, EPU Collective, I got Shane Carwin, Jordan McCreary. They've been taking care of me a lot. You know, they got me some good sponsorship, so, and I want to thank them too. Intensity Nutrition, Revivid Sport, The Terp House, Limitless Ink, FST Filtration, Purple Pear, and Dr. Kelly Jensen here in Price. So thank you guys a lot. Really appreciate the support.
Mike, I appreciate you stopping by today. Really looking forward to the fight on June 3rd. Best of luck.
All right. Thank you, man.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up as we continue the special edition of the show previewing Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption on June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Special guest joining us right now in the studio, Cy Nelson, who is part of the co-main event on the Fierce Fighting Championship Redemption card. Again, that is June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. Tickets are on sale right now. Just head to Fierce Fighting Championship's website. Make sure you get those immediately. You do not want to be left out. Mike Jones, Ben Robinson, and then we have Cy Nelson and Jordan Chandler. Cy is actually joining us right now in the studio. Cy, it's been about a year since we've talked to you, so it is great to get you back on. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to be in. Jordan, I love coming in and talking with you. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm sure you're excited. I mean, we're about 2 weeks away from this big event. It's been a while since you've been into the cage. You have your perfect unbeaten record on the line. Last time we saw you, I believe it was a quick 53-second knockout, if I remember right.
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember how long. It was pretty quick against Jordan Marriott. So, yeah, not a lot of cage time in the last year. So, hopefully, I kind of want to get in there this time and try not drag out the fight, because obviously I want to be able to finish as fast as I can, but I want to get some experience in there. I want to be inside of the cage. There's something about being inside of the cage in that moment that the experience is, it's very novel and you can't train for it. And as of right now, I win this fight, I'm looking at much bigger fights, I'm looking at bigger promotions, I'm looking at regional circuit stuff out in Denver, other places like that. So I really want to, you know, make this one a fight, and I think Jordan's got what it takes to give me a good fight.
But he's got a lot of experience. I mean, he's fought close to 25 professional fights. In fact, this will be his 25th professional fight. That speaks volumes. I mean, that's a lot of experience when you talk 25 professional fights.
Yeah, that's a ton of experience. I mean, everything that I have together, even my amateur career, I've got 14 fights, and I've been doing this for 6 years quite steadily, so that speaks volumes to 25 professional fights. You know, it takes years to amass that kind of experience. And also, a lot of his losses, I mean, he's got a few losses on his record, but nobody's really finishing this guy. He's got, you know, maybe 3 or 4 finishes out of all of his losses, but most of them he's going to decision, so he's not laying down. He's not easy to break.
Was that year off in the cage for you, was that done by design?
No, that really wasn't. I didn't plan on that. I haven't been outside of the gym for the last year. I've been working out. I've been training, cross-training between Fierce and 4-7 with Jason Mertlich up there, and then down here with Cody Bunderson. I've not fell out of shape, which is what you would expect when somebody takes a year off. A lot of these guys, they get pretty burnt out on being in shape all the time, and that's not me. I've been in shape. I've been in the gym. I've been improving my skills. It's just, it was the last Fierce show that we did here in Price when it was August, I mm-hmm. believe. Mm-hmm. In August, I was going to fight on that show, but then I pulled myself out of it because we had 3 or 4 other guys from the gym here in Price that were fighting on the card. So I kind of wanted to just take time off and do a little bit of coaching, help corner these guys, try to, you know, dip my toes in the water of that coaching experience, so to speak, for that fight. And then it just seems like nothing else has really come up since then.
With that being said, do you worry about it being away that long from an actual professional fight under the bright lights? Is that something you worry about?
No, I really don't. I don't believe in ring rust that much. There's definitely something to be said about where your mind's at when you've been out for that long, where, you know, the awareness of being in the cage, the whole fight week is a whole experience in and of itself, cutting weight, all that stuff. But I don't think that ring rust is going to bother me. I don't believe that it's something that should bother professionals. Even if you take a year off, 2 years off, or if you fought 6 weeks ago, I think that when that cage door closes, that you should be ready to perform no matter what, no matter how long it's been since the last time that cage door closed.
Your opponent recently stepped into the cage. I mean, he's about 5-6 weeks out from his last fight.
Yeah, he was only 5 weeks out from his last fight for Steel Fist. Who did he fight? I know he won the fight, so it was second round. He beat Kerry Latimer out of Idaho. Second round rear naked choke, I believe. So, yeah, he's hot off the heels of a win, and that's a big confidence booster that helps out a lot when you're going into fight week, when you're cutting weight and things like that. It really helps your mindset as to what you're thinking about on fight week. So, yeah, he's hot off the heels of a win. That's what I'm looking at.
Again, our guest right now is Cy Nelson as we prepare for Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption. Again, this is going to be on Saturday, June 3rd. You want to make sure you get your tickets right now. Get them at Fierce Fighting Championships website. Cy, going into it, you and I have talked about the preparation, and I mean, you work full-time as well, which I'm sure makes it a little bit more difficult to prepare for a fight itself. I mean, have you found in your time in this sport a balance between family, work, and training? I mean, those are three. I don't know how you can do it, but have you found a balance?
I think so. I mean, I don't think there's any perfect balance in this life at all, whether I'm working, fighting, and having a family, or just fighting and having a family, or just working and having a family. I think that you just have to, you know, play a lot of things by ear. Like, it's my wife is, God, she is... she's a blessing to me because she puts up with all my crap. I mean, I don't spend a whole lot of time at the house during the week because I'm always at work or I'm at the gym. I'm gone from home quite a bit, so I'm not there in the house. And so that could put a lot of stress on our relationship if she wasn't understanding of who it is that I am and what I want to do. And, you know, I do carve out time to hang out with my boy, my 8-year-old son, Caleb, and now I do carve out time to hang out with the wife, and it's not a lot of time, but I think that makes that time more precious. It's in small doses, it makes the time more savory, so to speak, it's better because we don't get to see each other a lot, so we do appreciate the time that we do get to spend together. And for the training, I've trained for, you know, 6 years for fighting. I've always been in the gym ever since I was in high school, so I find ways to make things happen. I have my own home gym set up, so whether or not I'm getting my fight training in, I'm still working on my strength and conditioning. I'm doing sprints, I'm jump roping, I'm lifting weights, doing whatever. So I'm always in great shape. And so I think that really, really helps me balance things out, having my own home set up there at the house. And so it's definitely a juggling act. I miss out on a lot of things, a lot of training, a lot of family stuff because of, you know, such a busy schedule. But I think I'm learning how to do it, and I've got a pretty good program going.
How different of a fighter are you compared to the last time we saw you? Like, when Cy Nelson steps into the cage on June 3rd, how comparable is he to that last guy that knocked out Jordan Merriam?
You know what? I'd like to say that I've grown a whole bunch over the last year, but there's something I can't turn off when that cage door closes. And it's something that I really want to work on this fight, being cognizant of where I'm at while I'm inside of the cage. Because once that cage door closes, I release all inhibitions. It's almost as if I'm not there. I'm literally in the zone, and I literally go into kill mode. When I explain it to people, I talk about it as playing a game of I kill you, you kill me. It's just there's a ref there to stop it before that actually happens. So my brain switches, and it's life or death for me in there. So sometimes it's hard to be cognizant of what's going on because there's that reptilian side of the brain that really takes over, and I'm just trying to get them out of there as quickly as possible with taking the least amount of damage. And if that's me clubbing them over the head in 30 seconds and getting the ref to stop it, that's what it is. I'd like to work on technique and things like that, but sometimes I just can't help myself.
Yeah. Cy, I'm looking forward to the fight with Jordan Chandler. Again, it's a terrific co-main event. Mike Jones, Ben Robinson, and then Cy Nelson and Jordan Chandler. Cy, hopefully we'll get you back in following a victory, talking a win over Jordan Chandler in a couple of weeks. That would be great.
Yeah, I'd love to come in. That's, like I said, like I was telling you before we started recording, I love coming in and talking to you and doing interviews and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'd love to come on.
Sounds great, Cy. Best of luck as you take on Jordan Chandler.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it, Jordan.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Zero name, no gimmicks.
That's why I ain't got no.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM, also streaming live at CastleCountryRadio.com. We are talking Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption, which is going down to the Garvin County Event Center on June 3rd. Remember, tickets are on sale right now, and we're going to continue to bring in some fighters. Again, joining me at the mic, we have Cody Bunderson, the owner of the Fierce Fighting Championship. And Cody, you want to talk about Hank Wise here. You mentioned Hank during the intro to the show, a very fascinating figure nonetheless. That's a name that people are definitely going to recognize. If you don't recognize Hank's name, all you got to do is do a little research, and he's got a wide history.
Oh yeah, he's fought down here before. When they were doing some of the coal miner brawls and things like that, I actually was, when I very first started training back in like 2005, they had the thing out at the college where it was basically it was MMA fighting, but there was no weight classes, and it was just kind of an open tournament. And I'd been training for maybe a year. I decided to sign up for it, and then my coach is like, who's in the brackets? And he's like, Hank Weiss is there. He's like, you're not fighting. I'm like, why? He's like, the dude has great jiu-jitsu, he's a good fighter, and he's gonna have like 150 pounds on you. You're not fighting. I'm like, oh, okay. Never mind then. Yeah, he's fought down here. I believe he won that tournament down here then. He may have fought in a couple other shows down here when they were doing some shoddy shows down here. But the dude has, again, he if there's a Utah Hall of Fame, he is definitely one of the first people to be inducted into the Utah MMA Hall of Fame.
So what was it that I guess possessed you to reach out to Hank and try to get up on this particular show?
He actually reached out to us. Nephi's coach, Jerry the Bull Bowling, he's one of our sister jiu-jitsu gyms, part of the Bering Jiu-Jitsu Association that we're associated with. Hank trains at also another one of our sister gyms, Paul Tom's Academy of Jiu-Jitsu, and asked if we could get Hank on the card. And as soon as he said Hank Weiss on the card, I said, done. I don't care what it is. We'll find him a fight. You know, I haven't seen the dude fight in a few years, and I was just like, holy cow, you know, bringing the guy out of retirement. What a better way to showcase him coming out of retirement than putting him on Fierce Fighting Championship.
Is it hard to find the right match for somebody like Hank?
It is, you know, again, with him, you know, being 40 plus, you know, we wanted to find someone, one that can hang with someone like Hank with so much experience, but two, you know, someone that's also, you know, not a 20-something, you know, up-and-comer. Not that Hank couldn't handle that fight by any means, but we try to do all our matches, you know, appropriate, you know. Good styles make matchups, and you know we never try to go and basically throw a lamb to the wolves in any of our fights. That's why you always see on our cards everything's so competitive. You hardly ever see any of the fights, you know, finish quickly or in the first round. He's less card. None of the fights got finished in the first round. Everything,
right.
You know, went to second and third rounds. So, you know, hats off to Brandon Wise. He does a lot of our matchmaking along with myself. And, you know, we're always kind of in the lab collaborating ideas, you know, looking up statistics, analyzing fighters, watching fighters, and doing everything we can to get the best possible matchups.
We actually have Hank joining us over the telephone right now, so we're going to bring in Hank to talk about his fight with Chris Gomez. Again, it's going to be on the Fierce Fighting Championship Redemption card, which is going down Saturday, June 3rd at the Carbon County Event Center. Hank, I do appreciate you making time for us today. Thank you for calling in.
No problem. My pleasure.
You're definitely a seasoned vet. We've talked about your lengthy resume. I mean, you have close to 70 professional fights. Cody and I were just talking about you going over 50 professional fights, and there are some big names on that resume as well. You've been away from the sport for a while, so what made you decide to get back into the cage?
Well, I never really decided to leave. It just happened by injury and by, I guess, laziness, but it's always something that's kind of chewed away at me. Really, in this case, my buddy Jerry Bowling asked me to help out one of his students, and he told me about this event, and then I said, well, hey, do you know the promoter and whatnot? Can you get me on the card? I've always kind of wanted to fight again. And he said, gosh, within 15 minutes he called me back and said, hey, they can get you a fight. So I was committed. You know, so it just kind of happened.
Cody has said that when he found out Hank Wise wanted to get on the card, he said, absolutely, we'll find a way to get him on. I mean, your name does actually pull, has a lot of pull throughout the state of Utah. I mean, you're known front to back. When you've been around for as long as you have, I guess that's to be expected. You're going to be 40 years old the day after this event. Do you worry about that? I mean, I know a lot of people say age is just a number, but at the same time, it's very intriguing when you talk about someone on the other side of 40 or close to 40 in a combat sport.
I don't worry about the age factor. I worry about the neglect factor, you know, that seems to come with age. I mean, a 40-year-old man, in my opinion, is right there at his prime biologically. I mean, 38, 40, I truly believe that. Just our lifestyle tends to make that true prime be in our early 20s, you know, because we all kind of get lazy and whatnot. So age-wise, that's not a concern at all. My neglect and my, you know, my regiment as of the last, you know, it's not the same as when I was going hard when I was early 30s and 20s. That gives me a little bit of concern, you know, but the age, that doesn't. I got plenty of time still.
What's the biggest difference for Hank Wise training at 40 compared to training at 30? What's the biggest difference that you notice?
Forty to 50 pounds of extra weight to tote around. that's really the biggest difference. And then just the time. You know, I mean, I have more responsibilities. I have a lot more kids than I had then, and you know, you got more roles in your life that are important than when you're 25. When I was 25, that's, gosh, I got off work and I went and trained for hours every day, and it wasn't taken away from anything else, you know, so that's different now.
A big resume, again, close to 70 professional fights. A couple of names on there. Court McGee is one that a lot of people will recognize. Josh Berkman's another one that they will recognize. Is there a particular fight that stands out to you that you have fought professionally that, I'm not going to say means a little bit more, but is just maybe a little bit more etched in your memory considering who you went up against?
Yeah, I have two in particular that, you know, when I try to relive the glory days, that I revisit those ones in my mind, and those would be, I don't remember what year, but several years ago I fought Casey Uscola. It was an epic fight for me. I turned out submitting him in the second round after he put me through a lot of hell until then. But I planned how I wanted that fight to go, and it worked out exactly like how I had planned. So love it when a plan goes together. The crowd was on their feet. It was just a great moment. It's one of the moments in sports that you live for. And then another one would be a fight with Sean O'Connell, and where I scored basically my only standing, you know, my standing knockout. And that just was same thing for me, because it was striker versus grappler, and heck, I threw a big one and knocked him out cold, and I've never done that from my feet, so I love that one.
Let's talk about your opponent in Chris Gomez. What do you know about him, and how much time have you actually spent focusing on him specifically?
I know very little about him. I know he's older than me, which I was surprised. I figured if I was going to fight again, I was going to fight a younger guy. But they came back with an opponent for me, like I said, within 20 minutes of me just even mentioning, hey, could I get a fight? And they came back with a guy older than me. So I know he's older than me. I did look him up. You know, I looked up his name and saw some of his fights online. I can't tell too much from that, other than I noticed that he fought Ty Lee years and years ago, one of his first fights, and he fought him to a decision. And I know Ty Lee to be a guy who is just one of the toughest, scrappiest heavyweights I've ever, not even heavyweight, just fighters, period, a tough guy. So it was impressive to me to see that my opponent fought him to a decision. That's how tough Ty Lee is. You go to a decision with him, and I know you got to be resilient to do that. So that was telling, and that's about all I know.
Well, Hank, it was fun to talk with you. Really looking forward to this bout. Thank you again for the time today.
It's my pleasure.
Cody, we just talked to Hank Wise, Chris Gomez. This is going to be a fantastic fight, one of the four professional fights on your card.
Oh, man, yeah. Hank's, he's going to bring it, you know. Doesn't matter if he's 40, doesn't matter if he's 50. You know, the dude, he loves to fight. And, you know, sounds like we may be getting him on our show for September. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to find him another phenomenal matchup there. And but could not be more excited about this fight.
Now, age factor always intrigues me in sports, specifically when we're talking combat sports. It's an intriguing aspect when you put someone in who has the experience, but they're also on the other side of 40. I mean, it makes for an interesting night, to say the least.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, the thing of it is, you know, doesn't matter if they're 40. We got two heavyweights, you know, throwing some bricks around. And, you know, one of those bricks connects, you know, at when you're walking around at 250-some pounds, one of those connects, someone's going nighty-night.
Right.
And, you know, you've seen a lot of MMA fighters as of late, 40-plus, have a lot of success. You know, Dan Henderson, Randy Couture, Fedor Emelianenko, a lot of guys, you know, up in age. You know, Daniel Cormier, you know, he's upward getting close to 40. Anderson Silva, there's a lot of fighters still continuing to have a lot of success, and that's just training smarter, you know, adjusting to your body at that age and listening to your body and just being wise and smart about how you're training and how you fight. And that's why they've been able to continue to have success at the highest level, even as they reach the kind of the pinnacle and ladder of their career and their age.
We've got to get out for a quick commercial break. Again, we are previewing Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption, which is going down June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. We have plenty more coming up. We'll get some more fighter insight right after this, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 7.50, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 7.50 AM, previewing the Fierce Fighting Championship card Redemption. Again, that's going down on Saturday, June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. Make sure you get your tickets online right now as they are available. Cody, let's talk Mitch Ramirez, Julian Ruiz. Mitch Ramirez was on your guys' last card. This was probably the most entertaining fight of the night. Now, Mitch actually suffered a concussion, but he came out on top, came away with a victory.
Yeah, he displayed a ton of heart, grit, you know, and showed that he comes from a really good camp up at Absolute MMA. And, you know, they put you through the ringer in training camp. And so, you know, he was able to weather some pretty good shots. You know, it was a back-and-forth fight. You know, and I think, honestly, it was Mitch's heart that won him that fight. You know, he took some shots. You know, he was in some bad positions at times in the fight. And he dug deep and came out with that W.
As far as the atmosphere of that fight, and you go back and you watch the video, outside of the Kersley King fight, because again, that was a very heavy pro-King crowd that night, I don't know if the animosity and the intensity was matched in this Mitch Ramirez fight. I mean, it was at a very high level, to say the least.
It was intense. You know, these two guys were almost like they hated each other.
Yeah.
You know, there was a little bit of action after the bell from Salas. Actually tried to spit on Mitch in between rounds, and it was heated. It was very heated. You know, and these guys were trying to kill each other. And you know, I expect the same thing in this fight from Julian and Mitch, because both these guys are extremely passionate about what they do. Both these guys think that they're the top amateur lightweights in the state, and this is kind of going to be their next step as to, you know, making a case for that.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Mitch being an up-and-comer. I mean, Julian's right there with him. That's what I guess that's the big selling point in this fight, right?
Yes,
two really
yes.
big
this
up-and-comers.
Is, you know, this arguably could probably be a title fight. But I think, you know, whoever wins this fight is definitely going to be in position to take a title fight after this fight. So I'm very excited about this fight. Two of the best amateur lightweights in the state for sure.
Let's bring in Mitch Ramirez right now, who is joining us over the phone to preview his fight with Julian Ruiz. Again, this will be on the Fierce Fighting Championship Redemption card June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. Mitch, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Yeah, likewise, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Mitch, I want to start by talking about your last fight. You're about to embark on your third amateur bout, but win number two came against Alonzo Salas. This was back in January on Reverence, the fourth fight card for Fierce Fighting Championship, and it was a very entertaining fight, to say the least. You guys went at it back and forth, back and forth. There was some hostility in the cage. All in all, you got the victory, but it was probably one of the most entertaining bouts of the night, no doubt. You grabbed the decision win.
Yeah, it was quite a night, man. The guy was—he's a tough guy. We got in there and we got after it. You know, I'd been fighting at a weight class at 170, where, you know, I wasn't really cutting any weight whatsoever. Basically, waking up, eat whatever I wanted to, and still making weight. And you know, he was—he was very big body. So we got in there, man, and we started fighting, and it was within the first round, I knew it was going to be a real long night. You know, it was one of those things where he wasn't going anywhere, I wasn't going anywhere, and it's time to bite down on the mouthpiece and make it happen. So, you know, tensions ran high. You know, not on my end. I felt like I stayed pretty calm and collected, but he decided to, you know, do what he did. And I just kept fighting. You know, I kept my head in the game and pulled off a decision win. So at the end of the day, you know, did what I came there to do, did my job, and, you know, got a W. So
if I remember right, he had a point taken away for a headbutt, if I can remember correctly.
So he, it was an attempted headbutt, and he spit at me. So as he came and tried, he tried to knock heads with me, and I kind of moved back, and then the ref started pushing him off the side, and he spit. And I just remember being like, oh, really? Like, okay, then. You know, and I just, all that did, it was like, thanks, buddy, you know, because he'd hurt me in the second round. You know, that was the one round I lost was the second round. He landed a pretty good flurry on me. And, but all that did was just, you know, give me that much more resolve to make sure that I did not lose to this individual. You know, it's one thing, you know, to go out there and be in a fight, and it's another thing to go out there and be in a fight and be disrespected in that fight. For me, that was just like, okay, you know, if there's any question in the air, you sealed your fate now, you're going to go home with another loss on your record, my friend. So that's what I did.
You were good in that fight, to say the least. What did you take most from that victory? What did you learn most about that fight?
You know, it's just another, like, I've known this about myself, you know, that I'm the type of person that when the going gets tough, I rise to the occasion. I figured out that, I mean, I already knew this, but it was good to show everybody what I'm about, you know, that injured, hurt, exhausted, whatever else, you know, that, you know, not feeling good to begin with, all that kind of stuff all added up, and I got it done anyway against a guy with a lot more experience. And pulled it off. So at the end of the day, for me, it was more of just a confirmation of what I already knew about myself as a fighter and as an individual. So it was just nice to be able to show, you know, everybody that I'm for real, you know, and we're just getting started.
I'll tell you, your opponent this go-around, he's for real as well, Julian Ruiz. We were talking about this, Cody and I, and this has the potential to be the fight of the night. I mean, we're talking about two up-and-comers in this sport, and I think you have your hands full with this one.
Yeah, he seems like he's pretty tough, man. He's got a good record. As far as I know, you know, his record is pretty good. It speaks for itself. So, and I'm looking forward to it, man. I train hard every day. Like I said, you know, I've been known to rise to the occasion. So, it's been a good camp, man. I'm right where I need to be. It's going to be fun to fight somebody who doesn't have 20 pounds on me. I'll say that much, you know, so, that'll be a nice change, but, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. And yeah, I know I'll show up and I'm ready to get it on. So,
you know, what's so great, Mitch, and just in talking to you for the little bit that we have, you embrace the idea of fighting the best. And as an amateur, I tell you, I have the utmost respect for you in that regard. I mean, you are seriously taking every fight that you can get. At least that's what it appears to me as a spectator.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the way I look at it is, this isn't a hobby for me. This is a lifestyle. I love this. I wake up every day and I'm excited to train and I give 110%. My conditioning's there, my grappling's there, my striking, everything gets attention. You know, I'm not a weekend warrior. This isn't, you know, I work so I can, you know, at this point as an amateur, I mean, I pay to fight, you know. I mean, it's something I love, and with the goal of being able to reverse that and be paid to fight, you know, that's where we're headed. So, you know, to be able to reach where I'm going, I don't want to fight scrubs. I don't want any gimmies. You know, I don't learn anything if I go out there and just beat the brakes off somebody who hasn't, you know, put in the work to be there. So, you know, just because I'm an amateur, you know, that I mean, I don't want easy fights. You know, give me the guy who's undefeated. Give me the guy who's got five more fights than me. You know, and watch me pull it off. You know, that's my mentality. So, you know, I'm always ready. I love this. So, you know.
Before I let you go, Mitch, tell me, how does this fight end?
TKO, me winning or submission, me winning. Whichever way it comes, maybe a KO. At the end of the day, it's going to be a finish. So expect that. Expect to see me let out a battle cry and raise my hand again. So that's what we'll be.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. Mitch, thank you so much for taking out the time to join us on air today, and best of luck as you go toe-to-toe with Ruiz.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Cody, we just talked to Mitch, and again, this is while it's an amateur fight, it falls below the professional fights. You said it. I mean, it could be a title fight. This could actually be a candidate for fight of the night.
Yeah, for sure. These guys, they're gonna bang. You're gonna see some grappling, some stand up. I mean, both these guys are super well rounded. Both these guys train extra hard, come from great camps, and I think whoever comes out ahead on this fight can make a case for being one of, if not the top amateur lightweight in the state.
We are running out of time on this edition of the show. We got to take one last break. When we come back, we're going to go over the fight card front to back one more time. Again, I'm being joined by Cody Bunderson, owner of Fierce Fighting Championship, as we preview Redemption going down June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. We're back after this.
Now Young with two. Let's it fly. It's good! Nick Young for three!
What's up, this is Nick Young, Swaggy T, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, special edition of the show as we preview Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption. Again, that's going down June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. Cody, you can actually get your tickets in advance. That's not a bad idea at all.
Oh, definitely not at all. You can get tickets online at fiercefightingchampionship.com. I highly recommend getting there. Not taking the chance of getting turned away at the door. Last time, we were all but sold out. We sold out of all the VIPs, had a handful of general admissions that we kind of crammed in there. So get your tickets online at fiercefightingchampionship.com. We have some tickets down at Fierce MMA at 1695 South Highway 10. You can stop in at the gym and pick up your tickets, or you can get tickets at the door.
Let's jump back into talking about this card. Nate Kersley going up against Nephi McQuivy. Now, again, Nate, he's fought on your cards before. I thought he was very entertaining, a former wrestler at UVU. Goes up against Nephi McQuivy, who we're going to talk about here in just a moment. Tell me a little bit about this fight.
We got two very good grapplers going up against each other. And a lot of times when you get two really good grapplers, clashing in the middle, we end up seeing a stand-up fight. And we saw last time with Nate Kersley, with him being a very good wrestler and grappler, you saw him stand up, and you saw him dang near almost finish the fight.
Yep.
Against a very good striker in Bobby King. So we saw that, Nathan always, he also has some power. Nathan's also going up a weight class in this fight to 170 to meet Nephi there at the welterweight division. So he's not really cutting a tremendous amount of weight. So I expect, Nathan's cardio to be on point, his strength to be on point when he's not really cutting that much weight and, is truly getting to feel his body and not having to worry about cutting weight.
Yeah, the cardio in that Kersley King fight really was, it was on display. I mean, those guys battled.
Yes, battled, and finally in the third round, Nathan ended up getting caught there in a guillotine, and it wasn't for lack of effort, because, up until that point, he was winning that fight. And, he was so close to finishing that fight there in the first round when he about knocked him out. But that's just kind of how it goes. Bobby King had displayed a ton of heart in that fight. Can't quit until that 15 minutes is over.
We'll actually bring on Nephi McQuivy. He's joining us over the phone right now. Nephi, it's great to get you on the show today. Thank you for taking the time to call in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Definitely. Now, it's been a while since you have actually stepped in the cage for a professional fight. In fact, 2008. So we're approaching that 10-year mark. Why now? What is it that put you back in the cage for a professional fight?
Well, when I first fought, I was pretty much fresh out of high school, and thought that because I was in decent shape that I could fight. I learned the hard way that there's a difference between football shape and fighting shape. So after my second fight, I told my wife, who was at the time just my fiance, I told her that I would learn how to fight before I did it again. So 10 years later, I've trained a lot, and really, I've been hearing a lot from friends and the people that I train with that it's probably a good time to go for it again. And I feel a lot better. I've got a lot more knowledge on fighting, and I'm more ready for it now than I've ever been.
during that 10-year span, what else were you doing to prepare you for today? I mean, was it like a 10-year training span for you, or did you do some things in and out of it?
Well, I did. I didn't do any fighting or any competing. I trained at a lot of different places. I was with Team Unbreakable for a little while, and then that all kind of fell apart. And really got into jiu-jitsu, and I've been doing that for a few years. And I've done a little bit of wrestling. I don't think anywhere near the level of my opponent, but got a little bit of that. And I've done a little bit of stand-up as well and got some of that under my belt. And just been training. I lost the desire for a little while. And the problem with being a competitor like me is it never really goes away. I just postpones, really. That fire just constantly burns for me, though.
Let's talk about your opponent, Nate Kearsley. Again, he's a former D1 wrestler. We got to see him on the last Fierce Fighting Championship card. He went toe-to-toe with Bobby King. It was a highly entertaining fight. In fact, Kearsley had a couple of opportunities to end that fight early on. It didn't quite work out for him, and eventually he was stopped in the third round. What do you know about Nate Kearsley?
Well, I've watched his last fight many times. I've watched it over and over and over, and I gathered that he had some wrestling. I looked him up a little bit, and he's going to have some reach on me. He's going to have the wrestling part on me, but if he wants to go to the ground, I'm not worried about that part at all. So, but yeah, he looks strong. He looks like he's got some real good wrestling. And I don't know a heavy amount about him, but I'm going to be constantly thinking about his hands. I seen he had a decent power in there, almost put the guy away with the shot, and he went for quite a few takedowns. So I know he likes the ground.
Do you worry about cage rust at all? Since it's been so long since you've actually stepped in there at a live event, going toe-to-toe with someone and then stepping in with someone with the athletic ability of Nate Kearsley, do you worry about cage rust at all in that regard?
I know that cage rust is definitely, I hear from a lot of people that it does play a little bit of a factor, but that's not going to be anything that I think about when I go in. The only thing that is on my mind is nothing but Nate. That's all I'm thinking about.
How much time do you actually spend preparing for your opponent himself? Is it more of a focus on Nephi McQuivy, or do you actually, at times, will you focus on going up against Kearsley?
The only thing that I think about is my current opponent. I don't like to look past that. I find that if you look past what's currently in front of you, then you'll make mistakes. So the only thing I think about is Kearsley. All of my training camp and everything has all been based around him.
Hmm. Interesting. Between now and June 3rd, how difficult is it going to be for you to make weight at 170?
Oh, it's not going to be difficult at all. I was worried about it a little bit, but I'm right where I need to be, and come June 3rd, I'll have to weight just fine.
Between now and then, is it nerve-wracking?
Not yet. I get that question asked a lot. A lot of people have asked me if it's nerve-wracking or if I'm getting scared or excited. And it's not going to happen for me. It's never happened. I've been in a lot of tournaments, and I never get nervous or excited for either one until the day of, like, the weigh-ins or when I get there. So I generally don't feel it until at least the weigh-ins.
Well, Nephi, I'm definitely looking forward to the fight as you take on Nate Kearsley. Again, this fight is going to be featured on Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption. That's June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. Definitely looking forward to it, Nephi. It was great to get you on the show and great to get a word from you. Thank you again for the time, and best of luck on June 3rd.
Thank you.
Cody, we just heard from Nephi. I know we got a couple of other fighters that we have to talk to on the show today. We're going to talk to Mitch Ramirez when we return here on this edition, the special edition of the show. But again, I think this is going to be a very entertaining fight, Nate Kearsley and Nephi McQuivy.
Oh, man, it's a very intriguing matchup that we have there. Just kind of the way that our matchups has gone, maybe we're going to see a good stand-up war. I know both those guys are working hard on their striking as well. And so, you know, maybe the grappling factor may cancel it out, or we may see a phenomenal grappling match. You know, you just don't know until come fight night. But either way, I'm super excited about that fight because both these guys are very passionate, very hardworking, both come from great training camps, and, you know, could be fight of the night right there.
We've got a break for just a moment. We have more coming up here on this special edition of Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Back to put the final touches on the special edition of the Drive Time Sports, previewing Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption Card, which again is going down on June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. And Cody, we've talked to a number of fighters gearing up for this. We have nine fights on the card in general. A few fights that we haven't talked about yet. Let's start with the one female fight that you guys have on the card.
Yeah, we have Asia Negron and Crystal Anderson. Asia is a debut fighter coming out of Cedar City MMA and Jiu-Jitsu. You know, everything that I've heard about her from her coaches is this girl is a beast. She is 100% just a pure athlete that's explosive, that's, you know, very coachable. She actually got her calling for her LDS mission. So I think with it, like a week after her fight, she leaves for her mission. So she's going to, you know, end an MMA fight week later, going to serve her mission.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And then we have Crystal Anderson. Crystal stepped in the cage, I think, two or three times before. You know, another fighter who's a little bit up there in age. I think she's maybe 38, but always scrappy. Like, this girl is always scrappy, always wants to fight, like, kind of one of those fighters that, you know, I'll fight anytime, anywhere, doesn't matter who it is. And she just loves to get out there, lay it on the line. And I expect a really good fight between these two. Really good fight. I think Crystal's going to have a big height advantage in this fight, reach advantage. But we'll see if Asia's athleticism can make up for that.
Thomas Harper and Michael Gomez. Now, Michael Gomez is a familiar name as well with you guys.
Yes, yeah, Mike Gomez has fought for us a couple different times a couple different shows down. Last one up in Salt Lake, and one down here before. Very entertaining fighter. You know, another guy, just like his dad, you know, it's either I'm going to knock you out or I'm going to get knocked out. Very heavy hands, very good striker, has heavy kicks, and he's a grinder, man. And Thomas Harper comes from a Destination MMA, very scrappy dude. This is actually one of my fights for picks for fight of the night. I think these two are so evenly matched up and almost like a mirror image of each other that you know, there's gonna be a KO in this fight. We'll put it that way.
You think
be,
so?
There's gonna be a KO in this fight.
Doesn't go the distance.
Yeah,
then.
There's gonna be KO or TKO.
Talk about Sean Pollock and John Wixom.
Whoo, buddy! We have two very high level wrestlers that are gonna fight each other. Both phenomenal grapplers. John Wixom coming from the University of Grappling, with Mark Brewer there, very well coached. Sean Pollock coming out of UCTC with Ramsey Nijem. They also very well coached. Sean was wrestled for, I believe it was UC Davis, and was a D1 national qualifier a couple times. John Wixom, I believe, was a 2 or 3-time state champion from here in Utah, and also a high school freestyle All-American in freestyle, and I believe also Greco. So you have two very high caliber wrestlers that are going to go at it. So these two, it's like, again, like a mirror image of each other. I've heard there's a little bit of animosity between the two camps, or also the two fighters, potentially a couple of rumors floating around. I don't know if it's true or not, but either way, stylistically, you know, maybe these guys are going to cancel each other out. We're going to have a good striking match. I don't know, but you have literally two high caliber wrestlers, you know, some of the best wrestlers that we've ever had on our card. They're going to bang it out.
And the last fight we haven't talked about yet, we have Salas and Remington going at it.
Yeah. Dominico Salas and Josh Remington. Josh is a debut fighter. Dominico's also a debut fighter. They're doing a catch weight at 180 pounds. Dominico, literally, by the time he steps on the scale, within the last year, he'll have lost, I believe, close to 100 pounds. So I think originally he got into it to lose weight, to get healthier, fell in love with the sport, fell in love with the training aspect of it, and now he's ready to fight. The dude is always training. He's very passionate about it. I love following him on his Facebook and Instagram. You know, great success story, you know, as far as developing a healthier lifestyle through mixed martial arts. And Josh Remington, you know, comes from down at Cedar City MMA and Jiu-Jitsu as well. So he's going to be very well coached. You know, from everything I've heard about him, is he's a tough fighter, very powerful fighter. And, you know, I think stylistically, again, we have a very great matchup.
It's going to be a fantastic card, no doubt about it. Cody, as we run out of time, I want you to go ahead and give the listeners all the information they need on this card. Again, it's going down June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. Tickets are on sale right now.
Yep, tickets on sale, fiercefightingchampionship.com. You can get them there at the door or come down to Fierce MMA. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., so come get your tickets. Doors open at 5 p.m. on June 3rd. We're going to have another after party over there at the vault at the Tuscan. So if you guys missed the after party last time, it was awesome. We had a lot of good people from a lot of good teams get together. You know, you had guys that had knocked each other out, get together, have a beer together, celebrate, you know, and I love the camaraderie of this sport. You know, we may get in there and we may, you know, cut each other, knock each other out. But, you know, an hour later, we're going to go to the after party. You know, we're going to hang out. We're going to swap stories, you know, and, you know, maybe even train together one day. So it's a great atmosphere to get fighters together after the party. And you get to come down, you get to meet the fighters, you get to meet the ring girls, hang out, have a good time. So make sure to come down to the after party at the vault. So, again, doors open at 5 p.m. We will sell out. Get your tickets early. If not, I would hate to turn you away at the door.
Jody, I always look forward to talking about the events. I really appreciate you coming down here, spending an hour with us to talk about the next card. It's going to be a great one. Again, that's on June 3rd. Always a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Again, Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption going down June 3rd at Saturday, June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center. Get your tickets right now. That's going to do it for us on this special edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again, 4 to 5, right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are out.